So we're holding on Samach Zayin Amud Beis, the last line of the narrow lines. We're going to talk about now a number of cases all that started with the same, all that started, good morning, Ali, all that started with the same scenario, which is they had, now like this, we learned in Masechta Shabbos, we know you can make a bris milah on Shabbos if it's bismano, of course. You're also allowed to do on Shabbos the things that are necessary in order that, well, so we said, we learned in Shabbos over there, you're not allowed to do the machshire milah before on Shabbos if they could have been done before Shabbos. One example, the example we had over there was, let's say, if you don't have a knife for the milah, then you can't make one on Shabbos. You can't bring one through Rosh Hashanah. Whether you can have a goy bring it is going to be something that we're going to actually take up a related point in our sugya. The point is, though, we said that if there's something that had to be done and it wasn't done and it can't be done on Shabbos, then okay, you just have to postpone the bris. But of course, once the bris is done, then you the bris itself is done on Shabbos, and anything else that has to be done afterwards, you do on Shabbos. Some of them you do with a shinui, some of them not. But the point is, because at that point, obviously, once the bris is done, then it would be kuach nefesh not to do these things. One of them is, it's said in the Mishnah over there, that you can bathe the baby before and after the bris. In those times, it was considered a dangerous thing if you didn't bathe the baby before the bris and right after it. And we had in the Mishnah over there also, maybe on the third day from the bris, meaning 2 days after it. The point being that all of that, so you could bathe the baby even in hot water, even though usually you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos. So our sugya over here is going to discuss a number of cases where that water had been prepared before Shabbos and then became unavailable, spilled. You actually have so Rashi explains that we're talking about the water, that the hot water that we're going to bathe the baby with before the bris. If it had been after the bris, then if they did the bris, then the hot water spilled, there's no question then they could prepare new hot water, because at that point it's a matter of pikuach nefesh. So the question would be now, here it's the hot water from before the bris, do we have a way of getting new hot water, or do we have no choice but to postpone the bris? There is, on top of that, there is an interesting machlokas rishonim related to that. What happens with the water that's prepared to bathe the baby with for after the bris? Suppose that before the bris, that water spilled. So again, if it spills after the bris is done, there's no question that you heat up new water for the purpose. But let's say you had water prepared for bathing the baby before and after the bris. So you bathe the baby before, and then you're about to do the bris, and then the remainder of the water, which you were going to use for bathing the baby afterwards, spills. Are you then allowed to do something? So what are you allowed to do then? So the Baal HaMor and the Ramban actually argue about that. The Baal HaMor says in that case, then okay, same thing. You know, you can't be Mechal Shabbos to prepare new water. If you have no way of getting water over here, you're going to have to postpone the bris. Whereas the Ramban says, actually, what you could do in that case is you could do the bris, and then having done the bris, it's a matter of pikuach nefesh, and then you're able to heat up new water for the purpose. In other words, the Ramban is saying you're allowed to do that, to put yourself in a situation where then a tchilul Shabbos is going to be required, whereas the Baal HaMor doesn't allow that. Anyway, so in our Gemara, we're going to be dealing with a number of cases where the water spilled. So again, either we're dealing with the water for before the bris, or possibly we could be, according to the Ramban, we could be conceivably dealing with the water that was designated for after the bris, which spilled before the bris. But definitely, if it was for the water for after the bris and spilled after, then all the things we're discussing in the Gemara over here wouldn't apply, because then at that point, it's definitely a matter of pikuach nefesh. Nowadays, it says in Shulchan Aruch, nishtanu ativim, people's natures have changed. It's not so urgent to bathe the baby right before and right after the bris. So it has the same dinim as any other bathing on Shabbos, that in general, it's not allowed. With hot water, if it's necessary, then you do it on a case-by-case basis. So the Gemara starts off, again, Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, the last line of the narrow lines. Hahu yinuka de'ishtapech chamime. There was a certain child who needed a bris, where the hot water spilled on Shabbos. Again, either we mean the hot water for before the bris or after, according to the Rashi and Tosfos over here explain that it means the water for the before the bris. According to the Ramban, it could mean also the water for after the bris and it spilled, or according to the Baal Amar, it could mean also the water that spilled for that was meant for after the bris and it spilled before it. Anyway, Amalahu Rabba, Naisu lechamimi migoy beisoy. So Rabba said to them, let's bring hot water from my house. I have hot water in my house. Let's bring it over here. Amalei Abaye v'halei Avinan. So Abaye says, how could we? We didn't make an Eruv. We're not allowed to carry from your house into the Chatzar. Now, you have the question then, in that case, why is it Rabba Mevato Rishus? So there's a couple of different answers on this. One possible, Tosfos actually discusses this a few blot earlier, discusses this case over here, why we can't say that Rabba would be Mevato Rishus. So one, Tosfos and different Rishonim disagree about that. One possibility is maybe Rabba's house was not in fact in the same chatzar. Maybe it was in a different chatzar. We had the different opinions before Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan, whether you can be mevatel rishus from one chatzar to another. So Rabba may have held like Shmuel, who says you can't do that. So there's that. There could also be because. Tosfos brings another possibility over there is that it so happened that the owners of the other houses weren't all there, and since the halacha is that if you're going to be mevatel rishus, you have to be mevatel to each person individually, then there was no way to do that. There's a couple of other answers that Rishonim give why you couldn't just be mevatel rishus. Anyway. We can't bring the hot water from your house. Amalei, so Rabba says, okay, nismech hashituf. In that case, let's rely on the shituf. We have an Eruv Chatzeres. There's also a Shittuf Mavoyas to be able to carry in the Mavoy. So Rashi says, we learn later on in the Perek, that if you didn't make an Eruv, then B'diyebed, you can be Somech on the Shittuf. Tosfos discusses the pros and cons of that. It's not necessarily so simple. Not everybody agrees with that. Another possibility that we're going to have a sugya about this in a couple of daf. The Gemara mentions over there one possibility. Is that if they use bread, now the Eruv Chatzeros itself has to be made with bread. The Shittuf Mavoyis can be made with any kind of food. But if they made the Shittuf with bread, then b'dieved they can be soymech on it for the Eruv Chatzeros as well. We'll discuss these points later on in the parak, but the point is that there is a way. There is some way where if they didn't make an Eruv Chatzeros, where the Shittuf can serve as a backup for it. Amalei, so Abaye says that doesn't work either. Holoi shatfinin. We didn't make a shit of Mavoyas either. The Gemara is going to ask soon, how comes it that Rabba and Abaye didn't have an Eruv Chatzeres or a shit of Mavoyas made in their Mavoy and in their Chatzer? We'll get to that soon. Okay, so Rabba says in that case, Neimru le'lenoch re'leisilei. In that case, let's tell a guy to bring water for him. And that way the bris can still go on as planned. Omar Abaya says, at this point, Abaya says, "Ba'oi lo'isvei lamar." I was about to ask Rabba a contradiction for this from something that we're going to see in a second. That how are we allowed to ask a goy to do this for us on Shabbos? V'lo shovkan Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi Yosef, who was also there, wouldn't let me ask the question. And the reason why wouldn't he let him? The Omer of Yosef, Omer of Kahana, ki havein and bei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef himself says in the name of Rabbi Kahana that when we were Talmidim in the previous generation by Rabbi Yehuda, hava amalon, Rabbi Yehuda used to tell us, when it comes to an iso daraisa, if a chacham is telling us it's mutter to do it, if we have an objection to it, then we bring up the objection first, and then if the objection can be resolved, then we go ahead and do the thing. We don't say, let's do it first, and then find out whether, in fact, the objection was valid, because then it could come out that we were over on a din d'oraisa. But b'drabanan, when it comes to dinim d'rabanan, av dinim maisa v'hodam esvin and tiyuvta, then we can do it the other way around. We can first do what needs to be done, and then we can find out, then we can start asking questions and see whether it was a valid hurrah. The Nesivos brings on this an idea. He says, based on this, apparently the idea is if a person is over on a din d'rabbanan because he didn't know better, apparently he doesn't require kapara. Because we see from the Gemara over here that it could be that the Chacham wants to be matir something. You have an objection that might destroy his heter, and you're still saying go ahead and do it. And if it turns out later on that it wasn't mutter, then big deal. So apparently the idea is you don't need kapara for being over on a din de rabbanon, says the Nesivis. A bunch of achronim discuss the Nesivis and argue on him and say not necessarily, because over here, Rabba is certain of his psak, as we're going to see soon, that in fact we're going to see the objection that Abaya was going to bring up is not really a valid objection after all. So Rabba was certain of his psak. So therefore, if it's just a matter of we have an objection where we think we want to clarify it, then fine. We can do the thing and then have that clarification later. Especially since it turns out it wasn't a valid objection in the first place. But if we have an actual valid objection, if we know, for example, that the Chacham is blatantly making a mistake, not necessarily would we have this heter that we're saying in the Gemara over here, go ahead and do it anyway. And then we'll find out whether it's wrong or not. On another level, the Rebbe used to quote this line over here in the Gemara in a number of letters and a number of sichas, and explain that it also means more generally. It's not just the distinction between daraisa and derabanan, which is the simple meaning of the Gemara over here. The Gemara is also teaching us that in general, when the rabbanan, when the rabbanim tell us something, and we think we know better, no, first have kabbalas oil and do what they're telling you. Then afterwards, if you want to start discussing it and figuring out the pros and cons of it, then go do that. Anyway. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef didn't want Abaya to bring up the potential objection that he had. Just go ahead, have the goy bring the water. Let's have the bris done. So later on, says Abaya, Rabbi Yosef asked me, my bois l'oisvei lamar, what was the point you wanted to bring up that you wanted to object to Rabba's psak? So Abaya says, I told Rabbi Yosef, what I had a problem with was the Tanya, or really it should be the Tanan, because it's actually a Mishnah, it's not really a Mishnah, it's a paraphrase of a Mishnah, so maybe it is the Tanya, whatever. Now we have like this. We know that if a person is Tomei, he can't bring the Korban Pesach, he has to wait till Pesach Sheni. What happens, suppose, for example, a person who is Tomei Mes has to be sprinkled with Parah Adruma water on the third and the seventh day. What if the seventh day, which he's supposed to be sprinkled on, comes out on Erev Pesach? So then what would happen is, now sprinkling with Parah Adruma water is also Drabbanan. It's a shvus. The Chacham said not to do it on Shabbos. In this case over here, if we don't do it, then the guy is not going to be able to bring his Korban Pesach, because then the next time he can be sprinkled is going to be, okay, maybe on Sunday, if you can do it on Yom Tov, if not, he'd have to wait for Monday, Chol HaMoed, whatever, and he's going to miss bring the Korban Pesach Bizmano, he's going to have to bring Pesach Sheni. Nevertheless, we say that's the case. The Chachamim upheld the Gzera. You can't sprinkle him with Parah Adruma water, even though that's going to cause him to miss the Korban Pesach. So Hazah Shavuos, so the question is like this. Hazah, sprinkling with Parah Adruma water, is also Drabbanan, and V'amiru L'nochri Shavuos, also telling a goy to do something for us on Shabbos that we can't do, is also a Shavuos. So Abaya says, on the face of it, Ma Hazah Shavuos ve'en adoiches Shabbos. So just like Hazah is Shavuos, and even though it's only also Drabbanan, we don't override it to say that we should be allowed to do it on Shabbos in order to be able to do the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Afamiru l'nochli Shavuos ve'en adoiches Shabbos. The same thing should be with telling a goy to bring the water. So why is Rabba allowing us to bring the water?
Why you cannot sprinkle Erev Shabbos, not according to the Rabbanan?
Because then it would be the sixth day. That's too early. If the person, let's say, in other words, the seventh day is on Shabbos. Exactly. That's the scenario. In fact, the Rambam actually has a different shita. And if the Rambam learns that actually, if the seventh day is Erev Pesach, the Rambam learns anyway, the guy is not going to be able to bring the Korban Pesach that day. So the Rambam learns the scenario actually where the person's seventh day is on the 13th of Nisan, 2 days before Pesach. That would be the day where if he's sprinkled, he's going to be able to bring the Korban Pesach the next day. But because we're not, and he has to be sprinkled the next day, then he misses the Korban Pesach because of that. We'll learn about that. We'll learn about that topic more in Pesachim, Be'ez Hashem, the next Masechta. Anyway, the point is, Abaye is saying, so we see that we don't allow Isurim Dirabbanan even for the sake of a mitzvah. So why is Rabbah allowing an Isur Dirabbanan over here to have a goy bring the water for the sake of doing the bris milah? So that was the objection that I wanted to ask. Amali, so Abaye continues telling the story. So Rabbi Yosef answered to me, V'lo shoni loch ben shvus de is be maise l'shvus de les be maise. Don't you realize there's a distinction between a shvus that involves a maise and a shvus that doesn't involve a maise? Now, what do we mean by maise? One explanation that Rishonim give is it means a maise over here means malacha. The case of if we were talking about a shvus, for example, of telling a goy, there's two different kinds of amir l'goy. You have the kind where you're telling him to do a malacha d'oraisa for you. Let's say, for example, you know, the light's off in your house and you want them to turn it on or whatever. Or in our case over here, a middle akum of that kind would be if you told them to boil water on Shabbos, which is an Issur D'oraisa, versus over here, you're just telling them to bring it from one house to another in the chatzar, or from one chatzar to another or whatever, where there's not an Eruv, which itself is only an Issur D'rabbanan. So it's called a Shvus D'Shvus. So there's a big difference. A Shvus D'Shvus, there's less of an issue. In fact, you have two opinions about it in Shulchan Aruch. One is that it's such a thing as only mutter where it's l'tzorech mitzvah, like it is over here, for the sake of a bris milah. The other opinion is that it's allowed also where there's another great need for it. For example, the person is a little bit sick, or there's some other tzorech gadol. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions. The Alter Rebbe only brings the second one. So a shvus d'shvus would be allowed for such cases, where there's a mitzvah or tzorech or whatever, to tell a goy to do something that would be also d'rabbanan, like over here, carrying from one place to another. There is a whole different explanation that we show. There is a whole different, a different explanation also of shvus de is be maisa versus de les be maisa, is that it has to do who's doing the thing. In the case of Azar, Yid is doing it. In the case of a here, you're talking about a goy doing it. It's not necessarily the same thing. And we can see there's a difference. He continues, because after all, we see that Rabbah didn't tell the goy go heat up hot water, because that would actually be a malacha d'oraisa. So he only told him to bring it, which is only an Issur D'Rabbanan. Now, there are a bunch of Rishonim, Rabbeinu Chananel, and Havgoy Sabach points out, also Tosfos, apparently, do not have these words, D'ham Marloi Omer L'Nachri Zil Achim, in their Gemara, that Rabbah did not tell the Goy to go and heat up hot water. So actually, in other words, there could possibly be cases where you could actually tell a goy to heat up hot water for this purpose. We're actually going to have an example of such a case later on the Amud, but you also have over here, you also have over here. Where if we're not goyis those words in the Gemara over here, then it means that not necessarily is that the case, that they wouldn't have been able in some cases maybe to tell the goy to do that. Okay, sorry about that. There's actually a Tosfos elsewhere in the Gemara in Gittin. There's a short sugya on this topic also of Amir L'Goy on Shabbos, what's allowed and what's not allowed. Tosfos actually brings over there from Halachas Gdolos who among others is not Gerdus, this line in our Gemara, that maybe it would be possible to have the Goy heat up hot water for the purpose over here. So according to them, then the distinction would be, again, that Hazar is something that you're having a Yid do, and then over here, you're talking about a Goy doing, and that's a different thing. Okay. So the bottom line is they were able to have a Goy bring the water for the purpose. So Rabbah Bar Avchanan later on asked Abaye, what's going on over here that there was no Eruv or Shituf in this Mavoy in the first place? Mavoya de Ispe Tre Gavri Rabavik Rabbanan, a Mavoy where you have two great people like you and Rabbah living in it. Loyla Habibe Eruv Le Shituf. How is it possible that there was no Eruv and no Shituf in it, such that you had to resort to a Goy bringing the water? Amale, so, and in fact, by the way, the Mordechai says, based on Rabbi Bar Rav Chanan's question, we see that there's a mitzvah to try and make an Eruv Chatzeros and Shittuf Mavoyis, if at all possible. It's not just one of those things that if you feel like it, then you'll do it, but if not, then not. It's actually, we see from this, that it's a mitzvah to try doing that whenever possible in order that people shouldn't be nichshol and carrying where they shouldn't on Shabbos. Obviously, when it comes to city Eruvin and whatever, then you have all the other considerations about whether it's allowed or not, which is why making Eruvin nowadays is so controversial, because on the one hand, you have this, that it's a mitzvah to be mechazer achar Eruv, and on the other hand, you have all the various considerations and poskim that make it more difficult to do it because of the requirements for the Eruv, etc. Anyway. So how is it you didn't have an Eruv or a Shittuf in your Chotzer or in your Mavoi? Amale, so Abaya answers, my Nevid, so what could we do? Mar Lav Urche, my Rebbe, meaning Rabbah, it's not his usual way, it's not the covered dick for him to go around to everybody in the Mavoi and collect the food for the Shittuf, which is the usual way they did it in those days. As far as me, I'm busy learning all the time, and if I have to take off time from that in order to be able to go and collect the food, it's going to distract me from my learning for a whole day. Meanwhile, everybody else in the Mavui isn't paying attention to the matter. They're not even taking into consideration that you need an Eruv or a Shittuf in the first place. Maybe after the story, they realize better. But at any rate, Abaya is saying, up until now, that nobody ever paid attention to that, to aside from me and Rabbah, to even realize that you need one. I guess the rest of them were Amayaretz or whatever, and therefore it didn't get done. The E Akni Lahu Pitta Basala, Abaya continues, okay, so you could think maybe what I could do is be makna to them bread in a basket, which is more like the way that we make an Eruv Chatzeros nowadays, typically, where one person takes a box of matzah, let's say, and is makna it to everybody else in the chatzah or in the building or whatever. So why don't I do that? The problem is, if they were to ask me to share that food with them, and I'm not able to give it to them, the problem is, in other words, that Abaya did not have very much money. We find in other places in the Gemara, actually, that both Rabbah and Abaya were actually quite poor. So Rabbah, actually, some of the Mephoshim say over here, maybe once he became a Rosh Hashiva, was a little richer. But again, we said he's busy with the yeshiva all the time. He's busy with the yeshiva affairs all the time. People are coming, Rabbeinu Yohanan says people are coming and asking him shilas and questions in Torah all day. So he doesn't have the time to deal with this kind of thing. And Abaya was too poor to be able to afford bread that he could share with everybody else. We find there's a Gemara in Gittin that mentions that Abaya had to, for example, even later on, when Abaya himself was a Rebbe and was teaching other people, he had to water his own fields because he couldn't afford to hire somebody to do it for him. Anyway, so given to Ibo Laminai, if they would ask me to share this bread with them that I was makne, v'loy efshalais v'nihalayo, and I'm not able to give it to them, bottle shittuf. Then, in fact, the shittuf would be bottle, because the whole point of the shittuf is that you're willing to freely share what you have with everybody else. In fact, Tosfos says this applies not only when you're being makna the food to everybody else, like in this scenario over here, even in the case where everybody is contributing your food for the eruv. Also, you would have to be careful not to use something you're makbid on, Tosfos says. If, let's say, for example, you have food that you prepared specifically for Shabbos, or you have a very nice loaf of bread or pie or something like that, and you wouldn't want to give pieces away of it if they asked you for it, then in fact you can't use it for the Eruv. So Abaya says, same thing over here then. I can't afford to give everybody from the bread, therefore I can't do that. D'Tanya,
One second.
If one of the people of the Mavoi asks for some wine or oil that was part of the Shittuf, and they don't give it to him, then the Shittuf is bottle, because the whole point of it is supposed to be that they're all joining together, and here you're showing that you're makbid, and therefore it's not valid. You're asking, okay, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt in the middle, but you're asking, how is it that Abaya had fields and yet he's poor? First of all, those might have been at different times in his life. At this point, when this story took place, he was so poor that he couldn't even afford extra bread for other people. Later on, maybe he had fields, but he was still not, he still wasn't doing that well financially. The other possibility, you know, is a person can be land poor, a person can have a lot of land or a lot of resources like that that can't easily be sold, but, you know, they're still lacking actually ready cash or ready food or whatever. I don't know.
Well, then you sell your fields and you get the money.
Fine. So that would be for another week, but we're talking about that particular week. Why was there no Erev or Shetuv? Okay. So the question is, what about, so Rabba Baruch Hanan asks, V'nikni lehu ma'ar revi osa b'chala b'chavisa. So instead, why aren't you makne them a revius of vinegar in a barrel? That's not something that you're going to be so makbid on. Bread is one thing. Everybody eats bread. That's the staple food that everybody eats. So maybe you don't have bread to spare, but you probably have some vinegar to spare. And the halacha is, we're going to say later on in the perek, that in fact, when it comes to a shittur from a voyus, the typical way to make it is in fact using wine or vinegar. So we're going to learn that later on in the perek, Rashi mentions. So therefore, you put the barrel on the chotzer. You makne some of the vinegar in the barrel to everybody in the mavoi, and that works as a shitruf. And again, then if you have a shitruf and you don't have an erev chatzeres, then b'dieved that works. Why don't you do it that way? So the Gemara says Tanya ein mishtatfin ba'otzer. We learn in a brisa that you can't make a shittuf with something that's stored away like that. Because the problem is that you have the problem of breira. You have the problem. You're saying that some of the vinegar in the barrel is going to be for the shittuf, but you're also using that vinegar at various times. What happens if it turns out that the revius that was supposed to be for the shittuf ends up getting used? Now you don't have a shittuf anymore. So it wouldn't work either. The question is, the question is v'hotani mishtatfin. We have another braisa that says you could make a shittuf that way. Amar Rav Oshi, like kasha habis shamay habis hilal. The answer is it's actually machlokas. Those two braises represent a machlokas bis shamay and bis hilal, where bis shamay says that you can't and bis hilal says that you could. Now, of course, the obvious question is Abaya knows the halacha is like bis hilal. So Tosfos explains that Rav Oshia may explain that it's a machlokas b'shama b'shilul. Abaya doesn't have to accept that explanation. Abaya can say that the next case that we're going to learn now involving b'shama and b'shilul actually is not about a matter of breira, but about a different issue, as we're going to see. We know there's many places in Shas where it discusses Breira. We actually had it earlier in our Masechta as well. And we have different Tanoim and Amiroim. So he held like the opinions that in Breira, and therefore that you're going to have this problem that the revius that of vinegar that was designated for the Shittuf may be used up, and then the Shittuf is gone. Tosfos anyway brings further along that so first of all, Abaya may hold that it's not actually machlokas b'shama b'shilul, but also Tosfos later on brings that in any case the case that b'shama and b'shilul are going to discuss, which we're going to talk about now, may not have anything to do with breira at all. In fact, Tosfos says, because after all, if it was a question of breira, why are we bringing Davka this case? We have all over Shas, including earlier in our Masechta, when we're dealing with breira, we bring the famous Mishnah of Halakeach Yayin Mibena Kosim, about the different opinions of who allows breira and who doesn't. And instead, here we're saying Bishama Bishilol. So therefore, not necessarily are they actually arguing about breira. They're arguing about, does it work for the future or does it work for the future as well? So what's the case? The Tanan. Now, we learned earlier in the Masechta that when a mess is in a house, we say that all of the doors and windows, of the widths of all the doorways and windows in that house are all Tomei, in the sense, therefore, that if you have a person or kalim under one of those lintels, they're going to become Tomei when all the doors are closed and we don't know which door is going to be used to take out the mess. Rashi over here says that we don't know a reason for it. It's just Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. There are some other places where Rashi says that it's Gzeira D'Rabbanon. Anyway, so Hames Babayis V'Loi Psochim Harbe. So if you have a mess in a house and the house has many doors, Kulon Tmeim, so all of the doorways are Tomei, because again, we don't know which one is going to be used to take the mess out. And so even now when the door is closed, then the thickness of that door is still Tomei. Niftach Echad Mehen. if one of the doors was open, hu tamei v'cholon taharin, then only that doorway is also is tamei, and the rest of them are tahar. We learned earlier in the Masechta that's provided the doorway is four tefachim wide, because that's the minimum to take the mess out through it. Over here, actually, it actually says even if it's a window, a tefach by a tefach, it's tamei. But that's talking about if you don't have a full mess in a house. That's talking about if you only have a kazayis of a mess in the house. Where there, a window, a tefach by a tefach, is big enough to take the mess, to take that piece of a mess out through. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. Chishev lohitziyoy be'echad mehen. If a person thought to take the mess out through one particular door, or even not through a door, even through a window, which is at least 4x4 tefachim, then that will save all the other doors, that now all the other doorways are not tameh and only that one is. So that part everybody agrees to, but when do you have to think that in order for it to be effective? Veshama emim b'husha chishiv adshala yomus ames. Veshama says that works only if he thought about using that particular door before the person died. So nothing became tame yet at that point. So now, by him having a machshava to take the mess out through a particular door, then it saves all the other doors from becoming tame. But Beis Shammai would say, if you only thought about it after the person died, no good, because then you have all of them already became tamei, and machshava is not enough to take away the tumah from the other ones. You'd actually have to open one of the doors in order for the other ones not to be tamei anymore. Or Beis Hillel says it's fine, even if you thought about it only after the mess died, because again, it's a matter of yesh breira. We can say he always meant to use that door, so therefore the other ones never became tamei in the first place. So even kalim that were there before he thought about that will now be tahor, because it turns out that it never became tamei in the first place. Whereas Beis Shammai would say the other way around: even if the mess died, then later on you thought I'm going to take the mess out through this door, then you put kalim under one of the other doors, Beis Shammai would say they still become tamei, because the doorway still retains its tumah from before. So we see, in other words, that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about this point, where you have something there, and then afterwards you want to decide, should this be effective or not, which is similar to our case over here. So there you had the door, the mess was already in the house, he already died, and now you're deciding, do I want to take out the mess through this door, does this help? The same thing over here, we're talking about, we already have the barrel of vinegar there. The question is only, are we going to, so now we want to designate part of that vinegar for shittuf mevayis. Is that going to work? So according to these braises, Beis Shammai would say it doesn't work, and Beis Hillel would say it does. Again, Abaya doesn't have to agree with that understanding of it. Abaya can say that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel do not, in fact, argue about it. You have many other Tanoim. Abaya doesn't have to agree that these braises represent the actual opinion of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We know that there are many Tanoim who argue about Breira. Or, as Tosfos says later on, that even Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel over here are not necessarily arguing about Breira at all. They're arguing over the point. What happens from now on? It's fine. Let's say that the doorways, let's say not like Rashi, that we agree that the doorways up until now were tamei, and any kalim that were there or any people that were there are tamei. What happens after we thought? Is that enough now to make the other doorways tahor from now on, or that wouldn't even work until we open one of them? In other words, if we now think about a particular doorway that we want to take the mess out through it, and then let's say we put a keli by one of the other doorways, is it going to become tamei or not? According to Beis Shammai, yes. According to Beis Hillel, no. So it's not really a matter of breira then. So in that case, Abaya would say it's not at all relevant to our. So Abaya would say therefore it's not really at all relevant to our situation over here. It is sort of relevant. In other words, the point is the vinegar wasn't originally put in the barrel for the sake of an Eruv. So it wouldn't work over here either. So then that's the argument then that Abaya is saying. That's why I couldn't just be machna them a revius of wine in the, a revius of vinegar in the barrel and use that for the shittuf mevayis, because according to that way of looking at it, it wouldn't work because the vinegar wasn't placed in that barrel for that purpose in the first place. No, it's for him to use as freely as he, but to be machneh to everybody else and use for the Eruv, we could say not necessarily. Okay, so that's the bottom line, is why there was no Eruv or Shittuf in Abaya and Rabba's Mavoi. So maybe later on circumstances changed and they were allowed. Maybe they were able to. Maybe they finally got the people of the Mavri after this story to realize, hey, you know, we got to do something ourselves and not rely on Rabba and Abaya. But whatever it is, that Shabbos they didn't have, and therefore the bottom line is that Rabba had told them, have a goy bring the hot water for the baby. Okay. Another case, where the hot water...
So, Alexander,
yeah.
What's exactly the reason why they didn't have an Eruv at that point?
So that's what we're saying. The reason they didn't have an Eruv at that point is nobody else in the Chotzer cared enough to make one. Rabba is busy with the yeshiva affairs all day, and it's not bekovedik for him to go around and start collecting the food for the Shidduch. Abaya was also busy learning all the time, so he also couldn't go around and collect food for it. To be makna food of his own, he couldn't afford. To be makna bread of his own, and to be makna vinegar of his own, based on this discussion over here, we're saying that not necessarily would that work al pi halacha to be makne. The halacha in the end is that you could. The halacha is that you could mishtatfen ba'oitzer, but Abaya held like the opinion that said ain mishtatfen ba'oitzer. So no, again, another possibility. What? Because it wasn't placed in the barrel to begin with for that purpose. You're taking a barrel which originally was placed there for, well, so actually, again, according to Rashi, the reason is because ein breira, because you say that eventually you're going to use the vinegar in the barrel, and you don't know, maybe the revius that was used was the revius that was supposed to be for the shittuf. Now, the halacha is that in things that are banan, yesh breira, so therefore that would be fine. In Lamaskana. The other possibility, again, Tosfos says it's not a question of Breira or not. It's a question of this, that the vinegar was originally placed in the barrel for a different purpose. Are we now able to repurpose it just with Machshava for the Eruv? We have two brises. One says no and one says yes. Again, the halacha would be that you can. So fine. So maybe another possibility. Maybe what happened later on. Maybe Abaya looked further into it and decided, after all, that the halacha is that you could do that you could do it in this case. But at least for that Shabbos, that was the situation.
Why couldn't they designate someone who had enough money to be makne?
Because Abaya said, but why couldn't they designate somebody else to be makne? Because we just said before, Abaya said at the top of the Amud, he said he said inhu loy mashkichi, they, the other people in the Mavri, are not paying attention to the fact that we need an Eruv for a Shidduch in the first place. So again, maybe afterwards, maybe now that they had this thing where they almost couldn't do the bris because of this, maybe that woke them up and made them realize for the future that we need. Maybe in the past, Rabba or Abaya had tried talking to them and it fell on deaf ears. We don't really know. We don't really know those details. All we know is that particular Shabbos, they didn't have an Eruv or Shidduch. Okay. Onward. There was another case where the hot water for a baby's bris spilled, again, for before the bris or for after the bris, depending on the different scenarios we said before. Amalahu Rava. So Rava said to the people, Nishaila Le'ime, what we should do is ask the mother of the baby whether she needs hot water for herself. Now, you have like this. We have the din, we learned in Masechta Shabbos, that a woman during the first 3 days after the birth is considered a chola sheyesh by sakana, and you machal Shabbos for her whether she says she needs it or not. After that, and obviously this is after that, because we're talking on the eighth day, after 3 days, but within 7 days, then the din is, if she says tzrichani, if she says I need some such and such done for me, then you can be machal Shabbos for her. So we ask the mother if she needs hot water, and then we say that if it's after 7 days, at that point, even if she says tzrichani, you can't have Jews be mechal Shabbos for her, but you can have goyim do things that normally would be also on Shabbos. So in this case, ask her. It's on the eighth day already. Ask her if she needs hot water to drink or to bathe or whatever. Eat tzricha, and if she says she needs nachim loy nachri agav ime, then what we can have is a goy can heat up hot water for her, and with that he can also heat up water for the baby. There's a bit of discussion about that. Again, that Tosfos in Gittin discusses the pros and cons of that. Are we really able to have a goy add? We know in general that even if you're having a goy, even when a goy does malach on Shabbos, you're not allowed to have him add something extra. Not something to minimize, but you can't have an add him something extra for a different purpose that wouldn't have been also on Shabbos. We learned about in Shabbos. You have cases over there where a goy, let's say, is picking grass for his animals, where if he has some left over, then you're allowed to, but you're not allowed to have where he picked to begin with extra, not even to ask him, where he picked, let's say he was your friend, and he picked extra in order for you to use for your animal and other examples like that. Again, Tosfos over there in Gittin discusses the pros and cons of it. First of all, according to Halachas Gdolos, that we said before, that according to him, his Girsay in the Gemara over here was that in the previous case, we could have even had a guy boil water. Then over here, certainly, since it's for the sake of a mitzvah, then we could have him boil water for the mother and add a little extra for the baby. But if not, if we don't hold like that, then there's other possibilities. You could have just anyway, if he's heating up water, he's not necessarily heating up exactly the amount the mother needs. Inevitably, he's going to heat up a little extra as well, and you can use the extra for the baby. Or if we're talking about the mother bathing in it, you can always bathe the mother and the baby together in it, etc. So there's ways. No, but that's the thing. For the baby, you're not allowed to, because again, here we're talking about either it's the water to bathe the baby before the bris, or according to the Baal Amar, even for after, but it's spilled before the bris. No. If it was before the bris, then the baby's not in danger yet. If you don't have hot water, postpone the bris. And if it's the water that was meant for after the bris, but it spilled before it, the Baal Amar would still say, you still can't do the bris then. Just the Ramban would say, go ahead and do the bris, and then the baby will be in sakana, and then you could. But yeah. Anyway. Amaleh Meshavshi L'Rava. So the Meshavshi asked Rava, how could you do that? We see the mother is already eating dates. In other words, we see that she doesn't need hot water to drink. She's eating cold food too. So what's the logic that we're going to ask her and she's going to say all of a sudden, I need dafka, a hot drink? So Rabbi says, you could say that maybe she's confused. The word tunva, Rashi translates with a French word, stir discern. Rashi uses it in this week's parasha also at the beginning. It means like confusion. It means like you don't know what's going on over here. Like it's all mixed up and you don't know what's going on. So in other words, she's eating. She doesn't really know what she's eating. So therefore, maybe she doesn't even know that. So still, you could have, if she says, I need a hot drink, then maybe that's still good enough, even though, so like this, okay, she's eating dates. She doesn't even realize that she's eating them because she's so out of it. There are the Aruch actually explains that tunva doesn't really mean like it's not like she's not like she has mental problems or whatever. It's just like a kind of a lack of sense. Like she's tasting the food. She can't taste her food properly. Like her taste buds aren't working. The Tzemach Tzedek actually has a tshuva where he's dealing with the question of a person whether he's in a mental state to give a get or not. And then in B'Sei Chadvarim, the Tzemach Tzedek deals with this issue that tunva over here doesn't necessarily mean that she went crazy. It could just mean that, yeah, her taste buds aren't working properly. But it's still, she could still need hot water. Anyway, so there is a valid reason to say that she might say that, after all, I do need hot water, and that would be reason enough to have a guy do it for her, because again, it's just after 7 days since the birth, and then along with that, we can also have water for the baby. There is also, I think the Tosfos and Gittin mentions over there, if not them, then other Rishonim mention a possibility. You could even have a scenario. Now, the 7 days, as far as a woman who just gave birth, run mess less. They're 24 period. They're 7 periods of 24 hours each. A bris, on the other hand, we know is not like that. You could have the bris takes place on the 8th day. So let's say you could have the baby was born, let's say late Friday afternoon, right before Shabbos. The bris now is taking place Shabbos morning. So the baby was born on Shabbos, rather. The baby was born, let's say, Shabbos afternoon, right before Shkia, let's say. The bris is now taking place Shabbos morning, the next Shabbos. It's not even seven times 24 hours yet. So maybe the mother could even hypothetically still be in the situation where we're mechal Shabbos for if she says tzrichani. Okay. Another case, there was another case of a baby with a hot water for the bris spilled. Now, the scenario was, you see the diagram over here in Rashi, you have like this. There's the house on the left side, you have the house where the baby is, Beis Ish or Katan. Then you have the chotzer next to that. You have another chotzer next to that, where now though each of those chotzeres had their own eruv, but they hadn't made a joint eruv between the two chotzeres. On the side of the second chotzer, you have Rava's house, where Rava's house consists of Bei Gavri, which is the part of the house where the men normally stay, and Bei Nashi, which is the rooms for the women. The idea is, in other words, like this, the women's houses, the women's rooms don't directly open into the chotzer. They have to go through the men's area for privacy for the women. B'chlal, you find in those times, and you know, to a certain extent, you have this in Arab countries, that women stay out of the public sphere. The Rambam, for example, writes, let's say, that it's normal that a woman should be leaving her house only maybe once or twice a month, or like to visit close relatives or once in a while or whatever, but not walking around all the time. By us, of course, it's much more common. Women go, even before modern days, even before women's liberation and all that, it was much more common for women to be out and about in European countries, but in Middle Eastern countries, including in Bavel, it was much more common that the women stay in the privacy of the house. So you have exactly, you have the case in Ksubas over there, for example, where the husband says to the wife, I don't want you going around too freely, right? Right, so the Rambam describes that normally that's a, you know, it's one thing for her to visit her close relatives when they have a baby or when they have a simcha or Rachmana Litzlan and Avelos or whatever, but other than that, the husband can tell his wife, I don't want you just stop wandering around. Okay, anyway, so that was the layout we have over here. Now the point is, again, in the house where the baby is, the hot water spilled, Rava had hot water in his house. So Amalahu Rava. So Rava told his Talmidim or his Beshosim or whatever, Panuli Monai, mi Beit Gavri lebein Nashi, clear out my things, the things that I need for the rest of Shabbos, my clothes, my food, my whatever, from the men's part of the house into the women's part of the house. The Ezel the Esiv Hasam. Then I will go and sit in the women's part of the house for the rest of Shabbos. The Ivta Lahu HaChatzer, and then I'll be able to be Mevatel my Chatzer to them. And then, having been Mevatel my Chatzer, then we're going to be able to bring hot water from my Chatzer to their Chatzer. Now the reason why he's moving from the men's area to the women's area is in order that he doesn't accidentally carry in the chotzer. If he stays in the men's area, which is open to the chotzer, he may forget later on Shabbos and start carrying to the chotzer, and that will be mevatel his bitul reshus. That's why he's moving on to the women's part, in order that he doesn't forget to do that, in order that he doesn't forget and end up canceling his bitul reshus. Like this we have, we mention, so we have this concept of bitul reshus. We're going to discuss later on, if the person who was mevatel reshus, if he then goes and carries out to the chotzer, then he's undoing his bitul reshus. So then we're back to square one. So Rava didn't want that, so therefore he had them move his stuff into the Bei Nashi, which is further away from the chotzer, in order that way he doesn't forget and undo his bitul reshus. And he stayed this way. He'd stay there for the rest of Shabbos. Yeah. And then I'll be mevatel my chotzer. And then again, they're going to be able to carry. They're going to be able to carry hot water from my chotzer to theirs. Amalei Ravina l'Rava. So Ravina asks Rava, why do you have to go through all of that? First of all, how could you do that? Didn't Shmuel say you can't be mevatel reshus from one chotzer to another? So how is that going to work anyway? Amalei, so the Rava answers, very simple. I'm not Rabbi Yechanan, severely. I hold like Rabbi Yechanan. Dama yesh bitul reshus mechotzer lechotzer. So therefore, so it's allowed. Okay, so the question is, Ravina asked him, "V'i loy sava lamar kishmuel." So if you don't hold like Shmuel anyway, nesiv mar beduchte, then why do you have to go through all of that? You should be able to stay where you are in the men's part of the house. V'nivtelahu be mevatel your reshus in the chotzer to them. V'nivtelahu ledidhu be mevatel to them. V'nehadru inhu v'nivatlu lelamar. And then later on Shabbos, they could be mevatel their reshus to you. So this way, in other words, you're mevatel to them, so that now they're able to carry the hot water from your chotzer to theirs. Later on Shabbos, they can be mevatel to you, so that you're able to carry again from your house to the chotzer. Because you can, that's the thing. Rav says that you could do that. You could be mevatel again and again. We're going to learn about that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, yeah. So Rava answers him, Ana b'hokish Shmuel severely. As far as that machlokas, I do hold like Shmuel. Da'ama ein mevatlin v'chozer in mevatlin, where he says you can't do that. So if I'm mevatel reshus, then it stays like that for the rest of Shabbos. So therefore I moved into the Bei Nashi in order that I don't forget and carry into the chotzer. So Ravina asks, V'lav chad taimahu? Why? How could you hold like Shmuel in one machlokas and not in the other? Don't those two things depend one on the other? My time in mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin. Why? What would be the logic of Shmuel to say that you can't be mevatel? That you can't first Reuven be mevatel and later on Shimon be mevatel? Lav mishum to kiven to batle the rishus a starkle mahachal gamri. Wouldn't it be because once you mevatel rishus, it's considered as though you left that place entirely. V'havale keben chotzer acheres. In effect, you're now like a person from a different chotzer. The ein bitul rishus mechotzer lechotzer, and now you belong to a different chotzer, and you can't do bitul rishus from one chotzer to another. So the two machlokas are interdependent. If you say that you can be mevatel rishus mechotzer lechotzer, then why shouldn't you be able to be mevatel v'chozer mevatel? But pashtus, it belonged to the neighbors. Well, no, but pashtus, in this case, actually, we have to be talking about a chotzer that belonged only to Rava. Otherwise, it's not just he needs to be mevatel rishus. Everybody else does as well. So the simplest way to understand it is that Rava himself, that would explain also why we didn't make an eruv between it and the other chotzer. It's a chotzer that belongs to Rava privately. So he has no need on a regular basis to carry to the other chotzer. He doesn't need an eruv chatzeris even in his own chotzer because it's only just him and the members of his family. But now, in the middle of Shabbos, it turns out that we need to be able to carry to the other chotzer. Because it's all within the same house. Within the same house, you're allowed to move things around. That's the point. I'm saying we could understand, the pashtus, that the chotzer belonged only to Rava. So up until now, there was no problem. He could freely carry in the house in the chotzer. But now, all of a sudden, that we need somebody else to be able to carry something. We need to be able to carry something from this chotzer to the other one. Now, Bitul Rishus comes into play. The other chotzer was the one where the baby, that's the problem. Right, that's the problem, yeah. So Ravina is asking, it seems that the two machlokasin, the two statements of Shmuel are interdependent. So how can you hold like Shmuel in one and not the other? So the answer is, the Gemara says no. So Mar Nami Lo Nivdol. So by that logic, if you hold that you can't Mevatlin V'chozrin Mevatlin, you shouldn't be able to in the first place be Mevatlin from one Chotzer to another either. So how are you Mevatlin from your Chotzer to allow people from the other Chotzer to carry to you, to carry from your Chotzer? The answer is it's not the reason why Shmuel is saying Ein Mevatlin V'chozrin Mevatlin. Has nothing to do with the question of whether Mevatlin Mechotzer Lechotzer. Hosam Hainu Taima. In that case, the reason why you can't be Mavato, Choser Mavato, is Kihechid Lalehevim Milsa Dirabonon, Kichucha Veitlula. You don't want the things that the Chachamim say should be like a joke. Chucha, Rashi explains, means schoik, and itlula means letzonos. You don't want, it's going to look silly. Look at this. I'm being mevatel my rishus to you, and then you're being mevatel rishus to me, and we're doing it like a football. We're going back and forth over here. The whole thing is going to look like a joke. Therefore, we don't want to do that, and that's why Shmuel is saying, ein mevatel v'chozer mevatel. So you could hold, like Rabbi Yechanan, in print, you could be mevatel from one chotzer to another. What you can't do, having done that, is then to be mevatel v'chozer mevatel. So Rav would say it's still not a problem, and you can do that, but Shmuel would hold that it's a problem to do that, and Rava would agree with that. So that's the thing. It's not holding half like one, half like the other, because the two things have nothing, the two machlokas have nothing to do with each other. So, right. The Ritva actually has a little bit of a different explanation why it would be like a chucha beit lula, because if we say that you're mevatel, we learned before, and we're going to learn now in the Gemara, that you're mevatel usually only the reshus of your chotzer, not the reshus of your house as well. So then you can say, okay, fine, we can sort of trade back and forth reshus on the chotzer. But if you say that you're mevatel your rights in the house as well, then it becomes like a joke, like, I'm mevatel everything to you, and then you're tossing it back to me and me mevatel everything to me, whatever. Okay. Fine. So that's Rava saying that's why I couldn't just be mevatel rishus to them. That's why I had to be mevatel. I could be mevatel rishus to them, but I can't undo it afterwards. That's why I had to move into the Bein Nashi. Okay. Gufa. Now let's analyze that point that we said. Rav Amar mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin or Shmuel Amar ein mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin. We said Rava allows you that they can trade the bittul on Shabbos. First, Reuven can be mevatel to Shimon so that Shimon can carry in the chotzer, and then Shimon will be mevatel to Reuven so that Reuven can do the same thing. Right. Or Shmuel Amar ein mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin. Shmuel says you can't do that. So the question is, Lema Rav or Shmuel beplugged the Rabbi Lozer v'Rabbanon Kamif v'Rabbanon v'Rabbi Eliezer Kamiflegi. Would we have to say that Rav and Shmuel are having the same machloikas as Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. We had at the very end of the second perek, we had a machloikas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. If a person was mevatel rishus, are other people allowed to carry out from his house on Shabbos or not? Is it only they're allowed to carry between his chatzar and theirs, or within the chatzar or whatever, but not from his house? Rabbi Eliezer says that they can carry from his house. The Chum say he can't. The Chum say he can't. So Rav would hold like the Rabbanon. So therefore, in other words, he's not completely removed from that area. He's not considered like a person from another chotzer. He's still considered to belong to this chotzer. Therefore, we can be mevat. Therefore, they can be mevat to Rosh back to him because he still belongs to that chotzer. Whereas Shmuel would hold like Rabbi Eliezer that he's considered as though he doesn't live there at all. He was mevat to Rosh of his house as well, and therefore, how can they give him back the Rosh? He doesn't live there anymore. The Erev food, we'd have to say, is in one of the other houses, right? The answer is no. Amalach Rav, anod amri afilu l'Rabbi Eliezer. The answer is no. Rav can tell you what I'm saying works even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Ad kan, like ka'amar Rabbi Eliezer, hasam ha'mavato rishus chatzeru rishus beisei bitul. You know why Rabbi Eliezer says over there. Now, the Gemara explains over there that the scenario is, he didn't explicitly say. If he had explicitly said, I'm mevatel the rishus of my chotzer and my house, then it's different. Then the Chachamim would agree that that's fine. And vice versa, if he said, I'm only mevatel the rishus of my chotzer, then Rabbi Eliezer would agree that's no good. The question is, bestam. So Rabbi Eliezer would say over there, Hamavato Rishus Chatzeru, Rishus Beisei Bitul, that if he's Mavato, the Rishus he has in the Chatzer, automatically he's Mavato Rishus of the house. You know why? Mishum de Bebayis Boy Chatzer Loi Dairi Inchi. Because not normal for people to live in a house that has no Chatzer attached. So once he's Mavato Rishus for the Chatzer, automatically we can assume the house goes along with it. But he never said that you actually physically located somewhere else, and therefore that you shouldn't be able to receive your reshus back. That not. So even Rabbi Eliezer might agree that mevatan v'chozer no mevatan. And Shmuel Amar Anod de Amri Afilu Rabbanon. Shmuel can say that what I'm saying works even according to the Rabbanon, even though they say that you're only mevatel the reshus of the chotzer. Nevertheless, they would say ein mevatan v'chozer no mevatan, because ad kan le ka'amri Rabbanon hasam ela mai de batel or deloy batel le batel. The Chumah just saying over there, whatever he said he's mevatel, he was mevatel. Whatever not is not. We say he's mevatel the reshus of his chotzer. That's it. It means only the reshus of his chotzer and nothing else, not the reshus of his house. But as far as what he was mevatel, namely the chotzer, he did completely remove himself from that. He's not considered to be living in that chotzer anymore. Shmuel doesn't hold of this point that people don't live in a house without a chotzer. In effect, Shmuel says that's what the person is doing. He doesn't belong to that chotzer anymore. He has only the reshus of his house. Therefore, there's nobody. Therefore, they can't be mevatel reshus back to him because he doesn't own any part of the chotzer anymore for that, Travis. Also, Tosfa says, actually, the Gemara could have answered that Shmuel would say, listen, it has nothing to do. I mean, as we said before, we don't want it to be a chuchah v'itlula. We don't want the whole thing to look like a joke. And therefore, for that reason, we're going to say we can't be mevatel v'chozer. Mevatel, nothing to do with who owns what. Okay. Omer of Achaba Chana, Omer of Sheshes Ketanoi. However, we can say that the machloikas Rav and Shmuel is actually like a different machloikas Tanoim. The Abraisa says, Mishan Nosan Rishusa, a person gave his Rishus, Vahoitzi, and then later on he carried out into the Chotzer before the other people carried, because if it's after they carried, then already they firmed up then already that made the bittul firm, and then therefore he's not able to undo it. But like this, if he carries out before that. Bein b'shoygig bein b'meizid oyser divir Rameir. Rav Meir says that he answers them whether he carried b'shoygig or b'meizid, because then he undid his bittul reshus. Rav Yehuda oymer b'meizid oyser b'shoygig and oyser. Rav Yehuda says only if he did it b'meizid does he cancel the bittul, not if he did it b'shoygig. My love, b'hokam iflagi. Wouldn't that be the underlying machlok? Is the marasava mevatlan b'chozer mevatlan or marasava ein mevatlan b'chozer mevatlan? Apparently, Rav Meir says that since he says that even if you did it b'shoygig, you still canceled your bittul, then that would mean, in other words, so you didn't fully take yourself away. So therefore, so then you still have a certain residual bilus over the chotzer, and therefore they can be mevatel back to you. as opposed to the Behuda, who says that only if you did it b'mezid, fine, you did it b'mezid, you showed that you don't want your bittul to be effective after all. But if you did it b'shogeg, it doesn't cancel the bittul, according to the Behuda. So therefore, it means, in other words, that as long as the bittul is still in effect, he's completely removed from the chatzar. Well, if he's completely removed, then they can't be mevatel to him. So it seems that's the same machlokas as Rav and Shmuel. However, the Gemara says, "Amar Rab Acha bar Tachlifa Meshmei de Rab Aloi." No, that's not the same. It's not actually the same machlokas. Dekulei Alma Ein Mevatlin Mechozer Mevatlin. Both of them would agree that you. Both of them maybe would agree that you can't be mevatel back and forth between Reuven and Shimon. V'ha'cha b'konsu shogeg otu mezid kamiftegi. The machlokas over here would be: do we cancel when he did it b'shogeg because it may be confused with mezid? Because otherwise he's going to do it b'mezid and claim that it was b'shogeg. Actually, Tosfos points out it's not really konsu over here. When we use that expression in the Gemara, konsu shogeg otu mezid, we had, for example, at the very beginning of Shabbos, we had an example over there where a person stuck his hand out into another chotzer, from his chotzer into another one, and his hand is full of peiros. Is he? Or we had a case over there actually where a person put bread in the oven, and the question is he allowed to take it out before Shabbos? Where there we deal with shogeg and mezid, and we have the possibility konsu shogeg otu mezid that the Chum said don't allow him to do it, even if it was b'shogeg, because then he may come to do it b'mezid. Here it's not really that. I mean, the other people in the chotzer didn't do anything wrong. So Tosfos says what the Gemara really means is just, do we say that shogeg and mezid have the same rules? It's not really a matter of konsu. We're just we're using that loshen because that's the usual loshen in the Gemara when we talk about this. But here it's not a matter of knas. It's just a matter of do shogeg and mezid have the same effect? Marsav a konsu shogeg otu mezid. So the mayor would say that we do. By mezid, we all agree that. After all, so Rashi says, if he had sold his rights in the chotzer, fine, he can't just undo that by carrying into the chotzer. But here he didn't sell; he was mevatel rishus, just verbally. So therefore, if before they carry out, he goes and carries out, then he's undoing. You know, he said I'm mevatel; he's also undoing it by carrying. So therefore, a mayor would say, even if he carried b'shogeg, nevertheless, it still has the same effect as if it was mezid. Omar Savar, like konsur shogeg got the mezid, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would hold that not. So not necessarily is it the same machloikas of Rav and Shmuel. On the other hand, Rav Ashi, Yom Rav Shmuel, Pluk, the Rabbi Yezer, Rabbanon, Kamiflegi, Rav Ashi says we will go back to our original assumption that Rav and Shmuel are in fact arguing on the machloikas within the same machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether if a person is Mevatel Rishus in the Chatzar, is he automatically Mevatel Rishus for his house as well? So it comes out that according to Rav Ashi, it comes out that that Shmuel would be according to Rabbi Eliezer, and in that case, the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, and the halacha wouldn't be like Shmuel either. The halacha, in fact, is like Rav, that Mevatlin v'chozer Mevatlin. So then with regard to the bris, then if we held that mevatlin, mechozer and mevatlin, we could have done that. Rava could have been mevatel rishus to the other guy. Later on, after the bris is done, the other guy could be mevatel rishus back to Rava, and Rava would have had no reason to move. But Rava himself held that, like Shmuel, that in mevatlin, mechozer and mevatlin, and therefore he didn't have that option. So the halacha was decided, not like Shmuel. Fine. I mean, this is Rav Ashi saying that Rav is like the Chachamim and Shmuel. Rav Ashi is the next generation after Rava. So Rava may have held. So Rava could have held that the halacha is like Shmuel. That Rava would have held. In fact, like we say in the Gemara over here, that there's a few different other ways of understanding the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel that doesn't require it to depend on the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. One of them being, as Rava had said, that it's going to be chuchavet lola, that it's going to look like a joke if you can go back and forth like that. So Rava held like that, and therefore he said that you can't be in mevatlin b'chozer mevatlin. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem. We'll start the new sugya tomorrow, Bez Hashem. So yeah, we.